Broadcasting live from our Fort Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Fort Recovery, you're listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Fort Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-hosts, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk with Bubba.
801.
This is unbelievable.
What the heck?
How was inside tonight?
It was short and sweet.
It was quick. Great.
We were not able to come up with guests.
Huh?
No guests.
Yep. Again.
If you're out there and you want to talk on Insight, get a hold of Spency, 567-510-0114. Promote your business, promote your anything. We'd love to have somebody.
Actually, that's our...
that's our Hastings hotline.
That Hastings hotline. You'd have to call it tonight and you'd be on the air, but I'm not sure that I can...
You have no idea how to use it?
Well, I don't know that when we're not on the air, I don't know if I don't have a soundboard on, so I don't think I can hear the...
You should have it on with you 24/7.
Because...
Why not?
So people can drive you crazy.
They can email us at FortRecoveryRadio@Outlook.com, or they can call or text me on my cell phone, 419-852-0072.
There you go.
That's better than the Hastings hotline, yes, unless you're calling tonight.
And that guy talking right there, that's the owner, operator, and all around good guy, Mr. Neil Spencer. Hi, Spencey.
Well, hi, Bubba.
The guy sitting across from me is my partner in crime. We've been doing this for a number of years.
Lots of years.
Seven years, according
to Mick Spencer.
Might even be... Exactly. I think we started right around the 1st of December.
We did. This could be our 7-year birthday. So if anyone wants to bring up pizza right now,
Go ahead. Bring a pizza. Cake.
Ivan used to always bring pizza.
Ivan used to.
Yeah. Ivan sucks.
We've given him more pizza than he's brought us.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think we had several different things and he won, and so we took him pizza the next day.
We have a tremendous show tonight. We are going to talk with Steve Hellwagon at the bottom of the hour. Steve has had a pretty good run here this weekend. Buckeyes football takes a hit at Michigan, but the basketball team he covers for 24/7 Sports and
big comeback
and a nice win last night versus Duke. So we're going to talk Steve at the bottom of the hour, maybe closer to 9 o'clock. The guy sitting to my left, you all know, a Fort Recovery favorite,
absolutely,
and the commissioner of the Midwest Athletic Conference, Mr. Don Kemper. Don, how are you tonight?
Hey, Bubba, doing great. Glad to be here tonight.
It's pretty exciting time for the MAC, pretty exciting time for you. Football finals this weekend, and the MAC is represented incredibly
huge again.
About like normal.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy fun, but, you know, the beauty of it is everything happens Saturday. So, you know, you can get there for the Marion game at 10:30 and... Leave probably around 10:30 after the Versailles game.
There you go.
Yeah, you couldn't.
12 hours of fun.
Because you're going to go to all three games. You got to love that.
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And your wife probably says.
Well, she loves it too.
Because.
I'm not at home.
Yes, that's exactly right. Right. Because.
Yeah. That makes sense.
First of all, you are not that much fun to be with.
Well, that could be the understatement of the year.
He used to was.
We had basketball seasons tipped off. And Fee.
Yes,
we went over and watched the girls play at Versailles. They opened up at Crestview. Last week, we go to Versailles and take a tough loss by, I think, 9 or 7, something like that.
Yep.
They're 0-2, but there's some good things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the Pearson girl is going to be a great basketball player. You can just tell that for sure. And Whitley's going to be a champ inside. I mean, you know she's going to start playing well, too. And I think it's only a matter of time. They're going to get stuff gelled together. You know, and this is where Holly's going to earn her money. You know, this is where, you know, she's got to get that team ready to play. And I think she will.
I agree with you. The JV team had a nice win at Versailles. There's a lot of good young kids down there. I think that... tomorrow night's a big game for them. They got New Bremen Cardinals. I think New Bremen's got some injuries. I think New Bremen's coming off a tough loss last night to Covington. It's a home game, and we really need to get out there and support these kids.
Absolutely. This is a big one for the girls. Get on the Winside and a Mac right out of the bank, out of the gate. That'd be awesome.
I agree. They got they traveled to Jay County on Saturday, which is Jay County's really good ball
club. Good ball club. Yeah, they played some. I got beat first week, but it was like the number two team in the state.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think they're going to be back and ready to go, and that'll be a great challenge for them.
It will be, they play tomorrow night and Saturday. I look forward to a good game tomorrow night. You're going to be on the mic, right?
I am going to be on the mic.
And then you're out of here? You're going
to
Christmas?
Going to Tennessee, yep. Heading to Gatlinburg to see my brother, Mike.
What do you think of that?
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And while you're down there, you have to wait till next year. You guys are going to say you could go see Whitley at East Tennessee State.
Exactly. East Tennessee State.
Bingo.
Right there.
That's right.
I have to put that into plans next year.
When are you you leaving when, Friday?
Saturday morning.
Coming back
Tuesday night. I'll be here for the boys game, I believe.
Oh, good. Graham,
get out early. Yep.
That'll be
we'll
perfect.
Get an early start.
Yep. Well, should good deal out. Have a safe trip down there, my friend.
Yeah,
it'll be
looking
fun.
Looking forward to it.
And then you are traveling to Canton.
Yes, sir. Friday night.
You went and watched Versailles Saturday night, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And that's a great win for the Tigers.
Great win. You know, Harvest Prep was a really good program, really good football team. Mm-hmm. Very, I mean, unbelievably athletic. And, you know, it was a great win for Versailles. You know, they have a back that's going to BGSU. And basically shut him down.
Really? Is that right?
Kid is built like a tank. When I say a tank, he's one of those, you know, 6 foot, 220 guys that just he runs over people.
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't run over too many of the, you know, they didn't, when they took him outside, the linebackers did a really good job of stringing it.
Yep.
And gang tack on him, and he couldn't run it all up the middle. Versailles' defensive line is
tough.
They're
tremendous.
Good.
If they didn't have Tim Tayo, they'd still be really good.
Timmy Tayo.
Taryn is quite a player.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Taryn
Tim's his dad.
He's going to Ball State. He's going to Ball State.
He's a man.
I actually told Scotty Borman, the AD at Versailles, we were standing there talking about the game, and I said, he is the kind of offensive lineman that I like. When I watch him play, he finishes every play, and he doesn't care if the whistle blew or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Versailles played Marion Local, some of my friends were saying, he's dirty. He's dirty. You know, and I go, what do you mean he's dirty? And they said, well, he hits right at the whistle. And I said, that's what you're kind of supposed to do. Maybe sometimes you can't hear the whistle, but you hit until you're sure the whistle's blown.
Yep.
And I love him. I love the way he plays. I love his attitude. I mean, he is one of the nicest kids you ever meet.
Yeah.
But put him on the football field and put him in pads.
He's a tiger.
and he wants to kick your butt.
Yeah. That's kind of like me and Spencey.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Let's pay some bills. Sports talk. Sports talk.
Hold on a second.
Let's try that again.
We're going to talk about Rick.
Sports is back. Sports talk presented by
the Wayne Street Market.
It's time to get ready for Thanksgiving, and Wayne Street Market has great prices on everything you need. Pies, fresh, frozen, and canned vegetables, potatoes, ham, Cooper Farms turkey rolls, everything you need to make your holiday dressing, and lots more. And it's time to reserve your Cooper Farms turkey roast and be sure to place your catering orders for the holidays. And don't forget their party trays for your parties. Veggie trays, sandwich trays, cookie trays, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. Get to Wayne Street Market for all your Thanksgiving supplies. Great selection, great price. At Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Closed Thanksgiving Day.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Has your business experience changed within your operation? Or maybe the place you've banked with has seen the cultural change or the loss of a long-trusted officer or advisor? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action in how to navigate this new season of business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting. Your partner in planning.
Hi, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesday, you can get special prices on our famous wings and draft beers. Wednesday night, get $3 off of any of our large pizzas. And Thursday, you can get our tenderloin basket. On Friday and Saturday evenings, we offer a sirloin steak or all-you-can-eat chicken that both include our salad bar and your choice of potato and a dinner roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern for some great home cooking.
Friends of the Fort Recovery Library will once again be hosting their annual Fort Festival of Trees display at the library from Monday, December 6th through Saturday, December 31st during normal library hours. Families, local organizations, businesses, and individuals are invited to participate in this very popular event by entering a decorated tree or wreath for the display. The tree can be 3 to 7 feet tall and can have a theme or can even honor a loved one. Please stop by the library or call them at 375-2869 for more information about participating in this year's Fort Festival of Trees.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Back here, Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. 8:12 Wednesday night. We got a big show. We got Steve Hellwagon coming in. We got Don Kemper, the commissioner of the MAC.
In
we
house.
Got the mayor giving a shout out to everybody today.
My favorite mayor, Dave Kaup.
Better than Benny Kramer?
He is much better than Ben Kramer. Well,
that's big then.
I mean.
Sorry, Benny.
They don't even belong in the same room.
No, came. No, no. Not same breath.
Nope.
Saturday night, Fee, the boys traveled to South Adams in a game that you and Brian Patch had on Fort Recovery Radio. And,
yep.
And Fee, good opener.
Great opener for the Indians. I think it's kind of, when we got there, we're huge. I mean, we are a big, big team. We're strong. And they weren't. And we pretty much dominated inside. And I think Bobby had a pretty good plan. And the Rammel boy looked fabulous. Judy kid looked fabulous. Actually, I thought the two guys that have came in, Logan Oman and Daniel Patch, both played great underneath. Caleb Beavers came off the bench, played a great game too. Indians looked good. Looked really good.
I agree with you. And the young kids, I thought Landon Post did a nice job also.
Did a great job.
The JV team come out and was ahead 24-2.
Wow.
The first quarter.
Right out of the gate.
It was one of those deals where if there was any first game jitters, we didn't have any.
No, we looked pretty good. In fact, I thought it was 20-20 and
in the varsity game.
In the varsity game, and the shock boy got the technical.
Yeah.
And he kind of blew up. He got mad, and kind of shoved Owen Judy right in front of the referee, and the referee's like, technical. And we went on an 18-0 run after that. I said, you know, sometimes you get a technical and it fires your team up and it really goes. I think it absolutely killed him.
Well, it was his third foul, which means he's out of the game.
He took a break, yeah.
And he was absolutely useless the rest of that game.
Yeah.
When you look at our team and you talked about the new kids, Patch and Homan, you know, we start out and Logan hits our first two baskets.
Yep.
One on a stick back, one on a beautiful finger roll power move on a drop step. Daniel just dominated inside.
Did a great.
You know, I thought so passed the ball well. What can you say about Judy and Rammel? You know, they're going to have games where they're just going to light it up.
You know, they remind me. I mean, they kind of remind me of Greg Colling. I mean, they're instant offense. I mean, these guys, I felt like they're in the second quarter. You know, it was like Owen was just not having a very good game. I looked up and he's got 14 points. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute.
He missed every shot he shot.
He couldn't make a shot in the beginning, I thought. And all of a sudden, he just started making them. And when he makes them in bunches. And
he does. And
it's pretty fun.
And Cale Rammel's as good as any player in our league this year. I'll put him up against anybody.
I agree. I agree.
If
he can do a little bit of anything.
He can. And he's, you know, there's, you know, Digger, and you're going to love this because this is the type of kid that you love. You talk about the Tanya kid at Versailles. So after the game. And you know how the kids come out and, they always give mom and dad a hug and nice game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going around and, you know, nice game, good game. Everybody that goes up to him, Cale Rammel,
mm-hmm.
What's he say when they say nice game? He says, thank you very much for coming.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that's
good stuff, yeah.
I agree with you, you know. We understand. We understand that he had a great. He knows. You know. He knows.
Oh yeah.
He don't care. Thank you for coming to our game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now that's the kind of stuff I like. You know.
Class.
Yeah. Exactly. And
A sincere class.
Yeah, and when you look at that kid, he's not going to get outworked. He's going to, and you got a leader like that, and then you get you throw in the pieces. Now, South Adams sucked. I mean, they're little.
I mean, they were little.
They had a cut. You know, they get like you talk about the Shock kid's a really good player. Got Foucher. I've got the
John Shock's grandson.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but
absolutely,
he gets a little hot, hot headed.
But that's a great opener, and this team and Saturday night is going to be an absolute war with Jake County.
Yeah, I tell you what,
they beat Richmond Saturday night.
Mr. Rammel is going to have a lot of people to talk to after the game because it's going to be packed house.
Yeah, it's, I agree with you. It's going to be
It'll be a full house.
Great
game.
Were there any fights in the stand at Richmond?
I didn't hear any. Yeah,
they've had two straight games where they had fights in the stand.
In the stands?
Yep.
Really?
Yes, they had to clear the gym both times.
No wow, kidding.
To finish the game.
Well, that's nice.
I listen every once in a while. I listen to a Richmond radio station on the way to work.
Is that 100.1?
96.1.
Okay, they have 100.1 too. That's sports, but I didn't know that they did any.
You know, local stuff. Heard that today, and I was that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Society wise, it's crazy. It's people can't deal with differences anymore. Let's fight.
Get it out. Every NFL game, there's a fight in the stands.
And I'm okay with it.
Duke it out.
Like, bring it on.
Duke it out. Yeah.
Well, we haven't even had that in the MAC, and everybody hates each other on game night.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody hates it. Right after the game, they'll go to the bar and drink a beer, but during the game, they hate each other.
You're exactly right. The Rammel kid, you talk about Rammel. I remember 2 years ago, that kid was, he's a...
Junior,
freshman. And I was watching him play, and you guys were at the table, and I said, who is number whatever? Didn't know who he was. And that's one of the problems. I love watching Fort Recovery play, but
out of touch.
I don't know who anybody belongs to and relationships and all that kind of stuff. So I remember sitting there, and I go, who is that? I said, the kid's a basketball player. Yeah. I mean, he's a basketball player. Yeah. And, I remember saying that as a freshman, and I don't know too much, but it's good to see him progress point. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah,
but it's neat to see him progress. More than anything, to finally make me correct.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. There you go. He's correct.
Say it enough times, you'll finally end up right.
Really is the type of kid that he could be a D. He could get his college paid for.
Oh,
he's good enough to where if he continues,
and he's got the frame, that's a pretty good
to
frame.
Work. He has a shot at getting his college paid for playing basketball. And he's a football player.
He has a basketball body where he's kind of long armed.
I would have a water, my friend.
He's kind of long armed and just
thank you.
He looks no thanks. He looks like a basketball player.
Yeah. He's a player. There's no doubt about it. He had a couple. They you're not used to those alley-oops out of bounds, and he came in one time with his left hand and kind of dunked it, half dunked it, and we had about 2-3 dunks. Like, you could call them dunks, but they were kind of baby dunks. But Owen Judy on a nice give and go and on a dunk on him. And we're playing up around the rim. It's kind of fun to watch.
Who is that guy?
Haven't seen him.
I don't know, but when
not seen him forever.
When I heard the zipper go down, I was hoping it was his coat.
That's Chuck.
Chuck's back.
See, he's still alive.
I thought he was dead.
Nope, he's still alive. He still lives in town.
Hi, Chuck. He's in town.
Have you gone by his house? Have you seen the Christmas decorations?
I see him on Snap.
Look on the upstairs window.
Yeah. What is it?
You need to look.
I'll check it out.
I know what it is. It's the Christmas Story.
Yep.
Lamp.
Yep.
Nice.
Saw it tonight.
Yep.
That boy.
He's got the lamp in.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Very nice. Absolutely. Class. Hey, let's take a break. 8:20. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the Indian basketball team. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, folks. Come back to us for Sports Talk presented by
the Wayne Street Market.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you want to mow faster and ride smoother, you need a Ferris zero-turn mower. Only Ferris mowers have patented independent suspension technology that smooths out uneven turf. You'll be able to mow faster and longer with less fatigue. Whether you're a professional cutter or just want to mow like one, Ferris mowers get more done in less time. So visit K&L Tractor today and test drive the most comfortable riding zero turn in the industry, Ferris. Experience suspension.
seems like the most entertaining things on TV these days are those funny insurance commercials. Hi, I'm Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, you need someone who knows the difference between insuring a farm and an economy automobile. As your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, I know that our area and our neighbors have unique needs. When it comes to insurance, think local. And if you want a funny joke, I'll do my best. Find us online at FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
Hello, I'm Harold Peely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Ford Recovery. Fall is in the air, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will host New Bremen. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of the game, and you can also hear it on the NFHS video. Then on Saturday, it's going to be Jay County Day, with the Lady Indians traveling to Jay County with a noon JV start. Then the boys will host the Jay County boys in a triple header, freshman game at 4:30, JV at 6, followed by the varsity game. We'll simulcast WPGW for both the girls' and boys' games. Get out and support our Indians teams this week as the basketball season is now in full swing. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Presale tickets for Saturday's home boys' basketball game with Jay County will be sold tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the middle school office, then from noon to 4 p.m. at the high school office. On Friday, tickets will be sold from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the high school office. Presale tickets are $7 for both adults and students. All tickets at the door will be $8.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Yo, Fee, Diggs, Spency, Catfish, Charlie. Great group. Great group of folks. We're talking Indian boys basketball, and We got off to a good start. It was funny because the entire time I'm texting Coach Melton.
Yep.
And I felt bad because I sent him a couple videos. Uh-huh. And he says, you got me crying because he misses his kids so much. Hmm. And yeah, it's really cool. And how much I just wanted to give a shout to Coach Melton. I know he's going through hell right now.
Yeah.
But he'll be back.
At least he's starting to feel good.
Exactly.
That's the biggest.
And wishing he could be back because I feel good enough to be back. No, well, that's, yeah. The doctor says no.
Yeah, that's right.
And, yeah.
And, you know, he got me screwed up on his text messages with Bob Leverett.
Oh, yeah.
So he's sending me on Sunday morning. Ding, ding. He's sending me his offenses to get
good offense this week.
I said, I think that might be Bob L. Oh, Jesus. He texts back. Sorry about that.
So, yeah, he was.
So you got the game plan this week then.
Yeah, I got her.
Yeah, so. He was texting Patchy too before. When are you guys going on the air? Hurry up.
When are you going on the air?
I told Patch to text him back that the JV game is going triple overtime.
Well, he wanted to. He texted me and he goes, any chance Neil could put the JV game on? And I said, well, he's up there. He's probably getting ready. He'd probably do it. Hell, you don't. So if you don't want to listen, he'll announce basketball.
No, you do not.
No, you're good. Do not sell yourself short.
Well, you haven't heard me then.
Damn.
I've done it twice, and it was awful.
No.
I barely was doing a scoring update.
Really?
It was barely that.
Yeah.
It was better than nothing. But that was all it was.
That's big.
It was terrible.
Looking at Saturday is Jay County Day, and the girls we talked about earlier traveling over there to Jay County, play a really good Jay County team. And then on Saturday night, the boys Jay County comes over here, and for you talked about a packed house, and it'll be an atmosphere that we're going to love.
Haven't had one for a while, you know, with COVID and that crap, so this is going to be exciting.
Should be a really good one. 4:30, the freshmen play.
Triple header. Triple header.
JV, whenever the...
6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock is when it's scheduled, but around there. And then the varsity after that, so...
Who's doing the game? Who's announcing?
Tony Stahl.
Tony Stahl coming out.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He sucks. He ain't no fee.
I mean, he's no fee.
No, he's not fee, and fee isn't big P, but
fee
is he's good.
Fee's awesome.
Fee is awesome.
He's better than Big P sucked.
I'm getting mad.
No.
I'm about done.
You
getting to the point where I can't remember things.
We can't see.
That's the worst part.
That's the worst part.
Fee's the best in the Mac, but he's not as good as Big P.
Josh Link kills Fee.
Josh
kills Fee. Josh Link is really good, but he doesn't kill Fee by stretch. No.
So Saturday night, folks, first of all, get uptown Thursday to the girls. We need that one.
Yeah, we got to get that one. That's a big one.
Get that one. That's right. And I think once we get that thing rolling,
that's a big booster. We're going to be fine. Yeah, they need to win. They need to
You look at that schedule.
This is good teams in the MAC.
Yeah.
Max
there ain't no. Really there is good. No gimmies.
No.
I was looking at the rest of the schedule. I don't know a lot about some of these other teams, but there are plenty of strong teams besides the MAC on our schedule.
Yeah, we've always played a tough schedule.
Yeah, girls. Yeah. You know, we used to play that pretty slack schedule where you put some of them teams, you just beat them by 100.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Makes you no better.
Out of it. Yep. Don't get nothing out of it.
Get a better record.
You know, if you lose a few games, but you get better, it's worth it. It's worth doing that. Plus, you get that competition and you're ready for tournament. You know, I think when you get to tournament, you're when good teams come in, you ain't scared. You're ready to play.
So how is, this is directed at you. So
who's you?
You as be Don. And you be Fee.
Gotcha.
And you be Neil.
You be
directed at Don.
I'll be
Neil.
So when you be Neil. What's your refereeing looking like this year? You got enough or are you still scraping?
I have enough officials assigned to games.
Do you?
The problem we are gonna have is if games get
you're backing
like,
up.
COVID.
Like for example, three teams are out of are in the football playoffs, mm-hmm. and they had to reschedule some of their basketball.
You
got to
reschedule.
When you reschedule, I mean, let me just make it as clear as I can. There's nobody sitting at home that wasn't assigned a game that I want officiating the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I hope they ain't listening. I hope ain't somebody out there.
I don't care if they're listening. Okay. They know who they are.
Attaboy.
They know who they are.
Yeah.
It's not a secret. But.
You hate for a Marion against Coldwater game.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And you bring out some hacks. You're in trouble.
I'm glad you didn't say your names.
One of the games, think about this one. One of the games that got rescheduled were St. Henry Marion.
Ooh. Nice.
Big game.
Probably both teams are going to be pretty competitive.
Pretty good.
And, I mean.
Even when they're terrible.
Versailles
like
is loaded. Versailles is loaded this year.
Yeah. They are
basketball. They're huge. They're 6'8", 6'6", 6'6", and they are
gigantic.
Stonebreaker kids, so you know they're going to be good.
Yeah, they're. I mean, again, in boys and girls basketball,
Max,
there are just a lot of really solid teams.
Yeah, there is. It's going to be a fun,
some fun Friday night.
It's one of those things where if somebody cancels out or if there's a rescheduled, a snow date, whatever, what's left is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a lot of people retire. It's headed a bad direction.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's going to be a day in the future where, three officials are going to do your JV game and your varsity game.
Do them both.
Because.
Can you make the varsity officials do both of them?
We can't make them.
I mean, can you schedule it that way? Or
Yeah.
But you can't just call somebody that was a JV official last year a varsity official because you're paying them more.
Right.
And that's exactly. We want them to be better. But, you get what you get.
Right. So you
But I'm not afraid to help them.
Will you ever go back to two officials again?
I doubt it. I think that train's left the station.
Yeah. I really hope not because we need the three. But, if you don't have enough, you don't have enough.
And what's going to happen is if you go back to two, I mean, I hate to say this, but some of the guys that are less mobile,
right,
are going to have
run them out of the gym.
They're going to have a tough time keeping up,
yep.
And it's probably going to speed up their retirement.
Yep, we don't want that.
Yeah. Speed up their retirement.
We can't have that.
Neil, can you call out?
Yes, he can
you
call in, but I can't call out. Yes,
pizza, Bob.
What's that?
Pizza.
Yeah,
we're still waiting on that pizza.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's take a break.
Coming back?
Let's come back, and we got Steve Hellwagon on the line, and
then
we'll talk
Buckeyes
with Big Steve right after this. Sports Talk by Wayne Street Market.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Looking for some great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes now to reserve your lanes for your holiday party or for any large orders of food for the holidays. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza, wing, and salad buffet. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hey, boys and girls. Santa will be in the Opera House building in Fort Recovery every Saturday from 11 to 1 until Christmas, and he'll also be there every Thursday evening from 6 to 8 through December 23rd. Be sure to ask Mom and Dad to take you to see Santa before Christmas. Evening hours are 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays through December 23rd, and he'll be there every Saturday from 11 to 1 through December 18th. Stop by to see Santa in the Opera House building this year. He'd love to see you there.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Back here, Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee, and on the line is Steve Hellwagen from 24/7 Buckeye Sports. Steve, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Not much, man. You've had a whirlwind here the last few days. What do you think?
It has been. It's been a little crazy, and to see the number 2 and number 5 ranked football teams played on Saturday, and to see the number 1 ranked basketball team play here last night at the Shot, it was getting the best of both worlds, I suppose.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Ohio State didn't win them both, but at least they won one of them, I guess. And I don't know. I don't even think that's acceptable. But
we're with you.
Football one counts like 10. So, yeah, it that was the one. But, oh, well, what can you do?
Yeah, that's right. So let's go back to Saturday. Okay, so I'm going to make this. You tell me if I'm nuts or not, right? So, and I am nuts, but I'm just saying
mm-hmm,
this.
Mm-hmm. I'll verify that.
We kick off, they kick off, and we don't field the kickoff. And right then, I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And it almost set the tone. Am I stupid?
No, I agree with you 100%. I think we drove up Friday, and, you know, then we stayed overnight, went over to the stadium, and it was cold walking to the stadium. I was bundled up. And it wasn't really windy, but it was just kind of cold. It was about 30, 32 degrees, whatever. And then about 40 minutes before the game, it starts snowing. And you're like, oh, you know, this kind of changes things. And I just think it's human nature. I mean, you've got the crowd screaming down on you and booing you and rooting for the other team. And you're dealing with the cold, and now you've got snow, and it's wet, and the footing isn't good, and, you know, everything's kind of working against you. I think it's just human nature, you know, the way the whole thing unfolded. And it's very unfortunate, obviously, that I mean, had the shoe been on the other foot in the same situation in Columbus, Michigan would have been uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It doesn't matter, you know, which team you are. It's the same conditions for both, but they're easier conditions to withstand when you've got 110,000 people behind you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think the whole kickoff thing, I was confused. I was like, well, he put his hand up in the air, and then the ball bounced. But I guess you still have to field it. And then he fielded it at the four-yard line, and that's where you get the ball? That seems like a weird rule.
That is a weird rule. I figured he could run it or something.
Yeah, I would figure if you didn't catch it in the air, then you ought to be able to run it. I mean,
right.
It just seems like a weird rule. Like on a if you fair caught a punt, I mean, you didn't. I don't know.
It's crazy.
That's weird. The whole thing is weird. I don't know. But
we're gonna put that. That is weird.
That is definitely weird.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird. And then the very first play, the quarterback walks up by a scrimmage to, it's so loud. And he's trying to communicate something, and the center thinks he's supposed to snap the ball, and it gets down on the ground. And you're like, oh, my goodness.
This is not what we wanted.
You're going to give him a defensive touchdown on top of letting him smack you right in the face, go right down the field on an offensive touchdown. So, it was not a good start. And, they withstood it. They eventually took the lead at 10-7 at one point. But, yeah, just a tough day to be out there playing football. I mean, and, on that day, Michigan just took it at Ohio State, and Ohio State had no answer for it. And it was just they let Michigan believe that they could do it. And I think it was just they never took the Michigan crowd out of the game. They were in the game from the first series of the game, and nothing really ever took them out of the game. So you do that on the road, and you're supposed to win the game. You leave it open for the other team to steal it. And I don't know that they stole it, but they certainly won it.
Yeah, they did.
Defensively, I just couldn't believe how they ran right through us. I mean, I know that we've struggled defensively early in the season, but, again, Michigan State couldn't move it. And you look at, we absolutely could not stop their running game.
Yeah, it was a tough day for the defense, obviously. It goes without saying that the front seven for Ohio State's defense didn't play very well. To give up 297 yards rushing, I mean, that's just an absurd number of yards to allow. I don't know when Ohio State's given up that many yards on the ground. I mean, in a lot of ways, it reminded you of the... The Viaka-Batuka game
that
up there.
Was a disaster.
Stakes were the same. Ohio State was playing for, at that point, undefeated season and the Rose Bowl, but and the shot at the national championship as they'd gone on and won the Rose Bowl. But, that's what it was. You came to the last game of the year with everything on the line, and your defense just was a zero. I mean, just was a total zero. And bad angles and no physicality and couldn't get off blocks, couldn't tackle, and just bad defensive football was what it was, and no excuse for it. I mean, it wasn't like they did anything special or anything else. They just blocked it up, and, I'm watching through my binoculars on some of those short yardage plays, and the guys have got a huge hole, and no one's hitting them until they're 3, 4, 5 yards downfield, and you're like, that just can't be. This is like you're running through a MAC team, it can't be like that. So we questioned the linebacker play all season. It hasn't been good. And the defensive line didn't hold at the point of attack, and just everything kind of came together. And it is weird. I guess everything's matchups and how you're feeling on that day and everything else. But Michigan, they just kept coming. Ohio State couldn't stop it.
So, Steve, you think there's any defensive coaches going to feel some heat on this year or no?
I think that's entirely possible. My guess is Ryan Day will they're all out on the road recruiting now, and they have a signing period coming up here in a couple of weeks for the kids who are high school seniors can sign their letters of intent here in mid-December. And so they're going to try and finish that and then go into bowl preparation, whatever bowl game it's going to be. And my guess is if he's going to make changes, he's probably doing it privately, behind the scenes, interviewing people, talking to people, and could put somebody in place. But I would think that the staff that's in place now would coach the bowl game, obviously, and then make changes after that, however it's going to be. But, there were a lot of people that wanted changes last year after they lost to Alabama in the manner that they did, where the defense just was a complete no-show against Alabama, gave up 52 points. You know, and that was a good Alabama team. Obviously, had a Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver, and Mac Jones, the quarterback, done a bang-up job for the New England Patriots this year. So it was nothing to be disgraced by that Alabama scored a few points, but just how easy it was and how bad the scheme was and how bad the execution was with a supposedly good defense. Well, you know, no real changes were made. They went to this one high safety thing that they thought was going to be great, and Oregon trampled them, and then Matt Barnes took over the play calling, and they did a little bit more two safety after that, and different players and different scheme a little bit, and different play calling, you know, in different situations, calling different defenses, and yet, you know, it was kind of, it looked good for the weeks in between, but then obviously Michigan had a great plan and they executed it, and Ohio State just couldn't do anything about it. And so, you know, if you don't make changes now after 2 years of this, then just expect the same result kind of going forward, I think, is what you have to resign yourself to. So I know you're loyal to a fault, and I know that you don't want to scapegoat anybody or anything, but I think there's going to have to be some hard discussions and hard decisions coming from Coach Day, and probably involving the athletic director, Gene Smith, on who they can hire and who they can go after and what they can pay and all these other things. Because it's, believe it or not, all these schools lost so much money on COVID, they're now paying double for coaches. So.
Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. So now it looks like the Buckeyes...
It's a crazy, crazy world out there, isn't it?
It is.
Lost $50, $60 million on COVID, but... Now you can, instead of paying your head coach $5 million, you can pay him $10 million.
Yeah,
so, you know,
it's crazy.
How do you explain it? You can't.
You know, to quote Steve Hellwagon, it's just weird.
It is just weird. So it looks like the Buckeyes from here is either going to go to Pasadena to play Oregon, or if Alabama would get knocked out, you could see Ohio State Alabama Sugar Bowl, right?
Well, honestly, the way it's all set up, the Sugar Bowl has become in some ways like the Rose Bowl because they have tie-ins on both sides.
Okay.
They have SEC and Big 12. If the champion for that league is not in the playoff, then they go play in that. If both champions are in the playoff, then it's the next best team in each league. So under what you're saying, if Georgia beats Alabama, and Alabama's the next best-rated SEC team, which I would expect them to still be, they would go and play in the Sugar Bowl against the highest-rated next best team from the Big 12, which could be Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or Baylor, whoever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think what makes the most sense is if Michigan wins and gets into the playoff, which if they win, they're in the playoff because they're number two right now, then Ohio State would be the highest-ranked Big Ten team, and they would go to the Rose Bowl, and they would play the winner of the Pac-12 championship between Oregon and Utah. Obviously, it could be a rematch with Oregon, or if Utah wins, they'd be playing Utah, the team that beat Oregon twice, because they beat them, you know, in the regular season, and they would have beat them again in the championship. So that'd be the Rose Bowl. If Michigan somehow, some way, and I don't know how this could even be possible based on what we saw from Michigan last week, the machine that was Michigan last week, I don't know how Iowa, which just kind of, they played a terrible game against Nebraska and still won on Friday, and then got the break of all breaks with Minnesota beating Wisconsin to settle the division. Iowa kind of in there by default, having lost to Wisconsin, and you know, they're in there representing the West, and I'm thinking it's Michigan. But if Iowa somehow wins that game, then there's got to be a spot in the New Year's Six for Michigan and Ohio State, and Iowa has to go to the Rose Bowl. So what that means is the Peach Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl. One of them would get Michigan, and one of them would get Ohio State. And under that scenario, you could play maybe one of the Big 12 teams or BYU or Notre Dame if they don't make the playoff or whoever. So it's kind of a wide open scope if Iowa wins, because you just don't know how the committee is going to slot the team. But yeah, it'll all be backroom dealing at that
point. Are you pulling for a Pasadena trip?
Well, you know, I honestly, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad on both. Rose Bowl is the best place to go watch a game, and just the spectacle of the Rose Bowl and everything is wonderful. You know, given the COVID situation with California, are you that excited about going to California? To travel, try and book a round trip ticket from Columbus to Los Angeles and just tell me what you see, because I'm looking like $1,200 to go to Los Angeles. Yeah, I've never paid that much for a round trip ticket anywhere. So there's good and bad, okay? The Ohio State's never played in the Peach Bowl, which is in the new stadium in Atlanta, although Atlanta on January the 1st could be 35 degrees, just the same as it is here. So not exactly all that excited about that. In Dallas, or, what's the other one? Oh, the Fiesta Bowl. We've been there 20 times in the last 15 years. So.
Yeah, you got to.
We know it's a nice place. We know it's the weather's generally pretty good there. So whatever comes out, whatever it is, I'll go. So it's all good.
Hey, Steve, I have a couple questions, a couple observations maybe. You know, watching the Buckeyes game on Saturday, I kind of felt that you know, you see the coaches see the film or the video, and they have to game plan for what they see, right? I mean, they say, boy, the defensive lineman Hutchinson or whatever is just a beast. You know, he's shoving people around, you know, getting to the quarterback, whatever. A couple of their linebackers and another, you know, their front kind of seven were pretty solid all across the board. And I wonder, you know, when I was watching the game, I'm watching Ohio State kind of trying to play them, you know, straight up. You know, they're not scheming, they're not rolling Stroud out away from pressure a lot. You know, it's just a lot of, in fact, I'd tell you what I saw was some of it, they were rolling him, when they did roll him out, he had to throw across his body a lot.
Yes, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like, you know, there are a couple ways to explain it, and I don't know which one it is. I kind of feel like maybe somebody said, you know, they look pretty solid on video, but our offensive linemen can handle them, right?
Yeah, or I think go ahead.
Well, you know, it's that or it's lack of. I mean, it either has to be you think you can handle the pressure, or it's a lack of preparation. And you know, look, that's an easy thing to throw out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, hindsight that.
Anybody can throw out lack of preparation, and it encompasses a lot of, you know, a lot of possibilities. But you know, I just think I kind of feel like it's got to kind of be one or the other.
Yeah, there hasn't been anybody that made Ohio State look that bad, you know, which is kind of interesting. I guess, what is it, 27 points is a season low, I think, for them. I don't know, maybe they had 26 in a game, I don't know. But, yeah, it was there were a lot of questions and not a lot of answers, I think, after the game. Was it arrogance that they figured, oh, our five-man offensive line can handle this? Because you didn't see the tight end stay in to help Chip. You didn't see a back help out. Not that a back was going to help you a whole lot on Hutchinson, because he's just a bull.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe on the other guy, Ojabo, who's like 250 pounds, maybe he could have helped you on him a little bit. You know, when they played Penn State, they had 7 quarterback sacks, and he had 3, and Ojabo had 2. So if you saw that videotape and didn't feel that you needed to make any kind of extra plan for what was about to come down, then that's probably on you. And they got 4 sacks, and he had 3 of them. And, you know, he played an amazing game, almost to the point where it's kind of like Chase Young a few years ago. Some people are saying this guy should be in the Heisman race, and he did set a Michigan record now with 13 sacks for the season. So, you know, bully for him. He had a great game, has had a great season. Ohio State's offensive line did not distinguish itself in this game. I mean, there were a ton of false start penalties, a couple holding penalties, and blown assignments, and it just wasn't a clean game for them. And again, it goes back to how comfortable were you in the situation. The noise was such that they're having problems communicating, and DeJuan Jones didn't handle it very well. And the one time in the red zone, he gave up, you know, he had the false start to move back to the eight, and he gave up the sack, you know.
It's like, DeJuan had a tough little stretch there.
He had a bad stretch.
So, I think they could have come up with some better plans. As you're right, they had him stay in the pocket. He didn't roll out but a few times. And when he did, as you're right, he completed one across his body. I thought Stroud played one of his best games. That's just my, you know, very rudimentary look at it. I mean, it is both. I think for the game, there were 140 plays that were run, you know, like 75 by one team, 65 by the other. And so it's hard to make one-size-fits-all judgments on, you know, because you have so many different looks and so many different situations and everything. But they got out physical, no question about it. And I just think that they could have done more to negate his ability to wreak havoc. They said that Stroud was pressured on almost 50% of his throws. And for him to have played as well as he did, I mean, how many times were they facing second and long, third and long, and he found a way to convert it and keep the chains moving, you know, somewhat. And they settled for a couple short field goals and, you know, just was not their best game, not in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, but again, I put about 80% of that on the defense total, but the offense certainly could have been much better.
Okay, so next question, and I know you know we're barking at you quite a while here, but do you hate Brian Kelly?
Well, you know, I did a show today with the guys in Canton, and we were talking about it, about Marcus Freeman, and is he going here, is he going there, is he going to go to Cincinnati, replace Fickell, if Fickell goes to Notre Dame, and you just kind of spin your head wondering about all the possibilities and who's going to end up where. I don't worry about Ohio State. I think with the money that they pay, Ryan Day is going to get somebody in that position, if that's what he decides he needs to do, that's going to be a quality, competent person. Back on Brian Kelly, what I don't like is, oh, your son's going to come and play for me, and I'm going to take care of your son, and I'm going to graduate your son, and I'm always going to have his best interests. Well, he leaves almost under cover of darkness, and it's come meet us at 7 in the morning. I'm going to walk into the room. I'm going to thank you for the opportunity to be your coach. Goodbye. Walk out the door, not say anything personally one-on-one to anybody. And that, to me, is about as bush league a way that you could possibly handle the situation. These kids put you in that situation. You should get down on your knees and thank each and every one of them for playing such great football for you the last 3 or 4 years that they made you a multimillionaire, you know, so 100 times over, you know, because of it. And he, not only did he not do that, he walked out on them when they still have a chance to be the number 14.
That's the thing.
Absolutely.
And now the committee can hold it against them and say they don't have a head coach. We can't put a team without a head coach in the playoff and skip them over for somebody else. I just find the whole thing so distasteful, so untoward. It runs so counter to what this should all be about.
Yeah. But he got $95 million.
Yep.
And he left 6 days before the seedings were announced.
That's awful.
Because he had to salvage their stupid recruiting. I don't understand it. He could, as soon as the seeds came out on Sunday at 12:15 p.m., if Notre Dame wasn't one of the top four, you're free and clear, bud.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Go to LSU. Go to blank.
And, yeah. And then, and like then,
go there.
And then go for
there, don't come back.
Yeah.
But to do it the way that he did it is so low rent, so low class.
Yep.
And to walk out on a possible playoff team the way that he did, because if Cincinnati gets upset, if Michigan gets upset, there's playoff spots open, and Notre Dame was right there would be in it, you know.
Well,
it's so low class.
If
those
you,
people are the ones that put him in the position to take that job, and he turned his back on them and he walked away, I don't know him personally. I don't have good feelings about him because of that. Because it's just, you're telling me 5 days was going to solve your recruiting? You had to leave five days early to save recruiting? You could have waited till Sunday at 1 o'clock.
And
when it came down that Notre Dame didn't make it, you're free and clear, bud. We don't need you to coach the Fiesta Bowl. We're good. You know, whatever.
And you want me to tell you something that pisses me off? Here's what makes me mad. Is that the committee has the audacity to put Oklahoma State in front of Notre Dame. Notre Dame's got one loss to UC, which is ranked fourth. Oklahoma State has one loss to Iowa State, who ain't even ranked. That's the most incredible screwing of Notre Dame. Now, I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but the reason they did that is because Kelly's leaving. They don't want. Uh-oh. They do not. They're
Notre
punishing
just
them.
Came across Notre Dame just named Marcus Freeman, former Ohio State Buckeye linebacker. Marcus Freeman,
good
is
for
the
that.
Head coach at Notre Dame.
Well, that's all right.
That's awesome.
Cow.
Huh.
That's awesome.
So you say that just happened?
Yeah, they just broke into the Michigan State game here on ESPN and reported it.
Awesome.
That's crazy.
Hmm. Well, I guess that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Well, he's not coming to Ohio State.
No.
No.
Stay here. You're going to have to find somebody else.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I would guess that.
Yeah, no. The only thing I would see on Oklahoma State, and I just noticed this from looking at the standings, Notre Dame is 1-1 against teams that are ranked in the AP poll, or they were on the day that they played. And Oklahoma State is 4-0. I guess the team that they lost to, Iowa State, may not have been ranked the day that they played, but they at least have 4 wins and would be a 5th one if they beat Baylor in the championship. Damn. So they do have some good wins. What is Notre Dame's best win? Is it Purdue? Is that their best win? What is their best win? You kind of have to scratch your head. That's kind of the counter to what you're saying. I think Oklahoma State at least has beaten some teams that, you know, are we considering if and when they played Texas, if Texas was ranked, are we considering them? I don't know. But you know what I'm saying?
I think
this would be at least, well, they beat Oklahoma when Oklahoma was ranked in the top 10 and would beat Baylor when Baylor is in the top 10 as well. So I guess their wins are better than Notre Dame, but their loss certainly is not as good as Notre Dame's loss, but you know, that'll be for the committee to sort through.
Yeah, that's right.
I think there'll be a place potentially for Notre Dame, but you know, things have to fall the right way. Maybe that takes Houston beating Cincinnati, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
No, I agree.
Houston, to me, has quietly had a great season. I think they only have one or two losses, and I think their loss was to Texas Tech, maybe, or somebody, and otherwise, they beat everybody else. So, you know, now the game's at Cincinnati, so that plays to Cincinnati, but we'll see.
So we got one more quick one here. I know. What an atmosphere last night, the shot.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fabulous. You know, they caught Duke at the right time, having just played Gonzaga and traveling from Las Vegas back to North Carolina and then on to Ohio. To play an unranked team who they have no history with, you know, in recent history, it's not like a blue blood like Indiana or Michigan State who they play every few years in the preseason thing that they play in. I mean, there's no history with Ohio State and Duke to speak of. And Ohio State caught them, I think, at the right time. They were a little tired, I think, when they played them last night. And by the end of the game, you could tell Duke was a little bit wrung out. They couldn't get the ball to the basket. It was just the right time for Ohio State to play him. Of course, Ohio State's playing him a man down without Justice Suing. And Liddell had a huge game. Zed Key, the center, really, really played outstanding. And then the transfer from Louisiana, Cedric Russell, nobody even knew who he was prior to last night. And gets those two or three threes and helps him win the game. So, you know, this is a game that'll help them for tournament time with the committee and the resume and all that, but also gives them an experience that they can draw back on. You know, let's say they're in a tough game against Wisconsin, or they play Penn State on Sunday, first Big Ten game of the year at Penn State Sunday night. And they play these two Big Ten games in December. And so, you know, maybe that'll be a time they'll borrow back on that experience and say, oh, we've been in a tough spot. We can gut it out. That gives, you know, look at Key. He took it right at the 7-foot kid. That's an experience. You know, will he ever play a better game against as good an opponent? I don't know.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a game. Just great experience for them and the students. The fans got to rush the court. And obviously no fans at the game last year, so this was the first big home game, 19,000 people. And they really set the tone. Hopefully when they play Big Ten games there against some better teams down the line, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, whoever it is, they'll fill it and have that kind of a response.
I was looking for you on the floor last night after the game. I didn't see you.
I'm smart enough. I've been down in the middle of that crap before. I head back to the workroom and get out of there when that's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. You're a champ for taking the time out to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I love talking to you guys anytime.
Yeah. Good time.
Good luck to all the teams playing in the state. I'm not going to go up there this year, but I used to go up there almost every year, but I'm not going to be able to make it this year. Got some stuff going on, but I'm sure I'll be watching on Spectrum over the weekend to see how all the games turn out.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yes, it is.
And we appreciate you. Get some sleep, my God.
Take a break.
Yeah, yeah. Late last night when I got to bed.
I'll bet. Take care, man. Appreciate you talking to you. That's Steve Hellwagon from 24/7 Sports. Let's take a break. Come right back. Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Klingtron & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingtronandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtron & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Fors Welding & Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding & Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, I'm Harold Peely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Fort Recovery. Fall is in the air, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
The Fort Recovery FFA is sponsoring a gingerbread house family night for parents and children in grades pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and parents are required to accompany their children. It will be in the high school commons on Monday evening, December 20th, from 6:30 to 8, and each child will use their own creativity and decorate a gingerbread house to take home. The cost is $10 per child, and you'll need to register by Friday, December 10th. Registration forms will be sent home with your kids, and you can also print them from the Fort Recovery School's Facebook page or pick them up at the school. Be sure to get your students registered for this fun event, sponsored by our local FFA chapter. It's for students from pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and you'll need to register them before Friday, December 10th.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Okay, so here's my question.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you got?
Who is to blame for the Browns? Stefanski or Baker?
Ooh.
Who are you blaming?
Yeah, I'd say Stefanski's got to take a little bit of heat for this one, I think. We kind of stunk.
I just so frustrated.
Defense actually plays really good, and we get no offense.
So are you asking, is it execution, which would be Baker, or plan, which would be the coach?
Baker's playing terrible.
Oh, yeah, he's bad.
He's hurt. He's playing terrible. But I just, I don't know. We can't stretch the field. We can't get anybody open.
We ain't got no, well, everybody's, and Higgins wasn't even bad. How come he didn't play?
He was a healthy scratch.
He was a healthy scratch.
Yep.
You got no wide receivers. I don't get it.
I don't get it, Fee. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
We definitely need some offense.
OBJ caught a touchdown pass. I did see that.
It was a junk touchdown pass with about 3 minutes ago.
Didn't mean anything.
His dad thought it did.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, at least he impressed his dad. So that's right. That's a good thing.
That's always really.
So it'll make it for a nice Christmas dinner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I don't know. I ain't feeling about it. Playoffs are going to be pretty tough for Brownies to get in.
If they don't win Sunday, they're done.
Right. They could go on a run. They could win.
We're favored our next four games.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, we're playing all. We got three North Division teams we got to beat.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Las Vegas are next three. Is that sound right?
Las Vegas. We got Bengals yet.
Yep.
I don't know who they are. Oh, Green Bay.
We got to go to the Frozen Tundra.
Lambeau
Field.
Could be trouble. Although by then,
Turf Toe
Rodgers will be. Yeah, he'll be on the sideline because he won't play any. No, he's already in.
He done.
That's Christmas Day.
Really?
Yeah. My nephew is the neatest kid I've ever seen. Ian.
Yep. He's gone.
He was at the Buckeyes game last night.
Yep.
He's everywhere.
He's a win.
Every time.
Colonel Flag.
He'll send me a Snapchat. Atmosphere is pretty cool down here. Well, you son of a bitch. Here he is.
I love it.
That's awesome.
I agree with you.
Where's he go to college?
Lumberyard.
He works at Lumberyard.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh,
the other day, he sent me this summer, him and who's the outfielder? Castellanos. Yeah. Arm around each other, stand down after the game. I was like, what is this kid? He's tremendous.
I think it's awesome.
He ain't scared to go anywhere. He just takes off.
Well, hold on a second. How do you get a job at the lumber company?
I don't know. Bubby's got him passes for everything.
He's unbelievable, Annie.
I love it.
Let's put our name in.
You know, you get a guy that's making some money, didn't really try to save money for, you know, rent and all that kind of stuff. Have fun, man.
Yeah.
Do stuff that impresses Uncle Fee.
There's three guys right now, three that I love on Twitter that are absolute Joneses for sports. Will Holman, of course.
Yep. Willie, yeah.
Max Klingshirn is unbelievable. Max Klingshirn is unbelievable. If you follow that guy on Twitter, he is the diehardest Buckeye guy in the world.
He's Buckeye.
But he's a sports guy. And Ian. Yeah, them guys are just living life, baby.
Nothing wrong
living
with that.
Living life.
Nothing that is exactly how you should do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a couple of guys in this room a few decades ago that just didn't give a crap about nothing.
And,
whoa.
So I stop at the den. What's that? Coon's Den. Coming home Saturday night from South Adams.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there was five people in there.
Five people.
One of them was Randy Miller.
The Budman. The fabulous Budman.
He was in there?
Yep.
I thought about stopping.
John
Schock was in there.
The scorekeeper, Fox.
He was in there?
Yeah.
John Schock was trying to print the memory of his son, of his grandson's technical.
Yeah, he was.
Out of his mind.
But Jody hits 100 on a pull tab.
Hello.
So we're buying drinks wide open. Pudley was smacking. We were singing. We were singing Delilah. John Schock never got. He sang the whole time.
I wish I could have been. I wish I'd have stopped, but I just thought I need to get it back and get it in the archives.
We were wide open.
You
love it.
Yeah.
Have those people seen the Pudman show with especially with people?
I'm accompanying sure, they're all the, him. You know.
Yeah, it's something to see when Budman gets on a roll.
He's on a roll.
Yeah, he ain't changed a bit.
No, thank God.
That's awesome. That's
Which reminds me, he had a post today. One of his very good friends, Larry Chittum, Yeah. Passed away apparently suddenly.
Yeah. Larry did?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was married to one of Herb Meinerding's daughters.
Yeah.
Can't think of her name now. I just thought of it a minute ago. But Donna, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was a great guy. He umpired.
He was at the
years.
Golf course this year when I was over there, and he actually Chris Snow married Larry's daughter.
Oh,
Chris
okay.
Snow, I think I knew
little Chris.
I think I knew that.
Yeah.
And I seen a picture on Facebook of the whole family get together. So yeah, Larry's a good guy. He's a mean son buck.
He could have been back 40, 50 years ago when he worked at Meinerding's. He could take you out.
Yeah.
But
kind of like Digger.
Yeah. But he
in
was,
your day.
He was one of my favorite
people.
I take
you out for a drink.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, do we have more to talk about with about the Indians, or have we covered?
No, we're talking state finals. We're going predictions.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to predict as being a commissioner?
Yeah. Yep, that's all I can do, really.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really play.
Nope.
And you're allowed to
They took away my helmet.
You're allowed to be a little biased.
So, Saturday morning, 9 a.m.?
Yep.
Marion Local Flyers.
The Marion Local Flyers and the Newark Catholic Giants.
Is that 9 a.m.?
I actually have no idea what they are. Spartans?
Newark Catholic.
We played them.
Is
it
Irish?
Is it
Irish? Yep. We played them in baseball several times.
Son of a kid. Yeah.
Well,
if he would have waved that guy around first base.
If he stops him, we win.
I say
him.
Right.
Stop.
Be aggressive. That's right.
Let's go.
Jerry Kopp hates you.
Hates
he told me the other day.
Yeah,
he said, you cost me a spot in high school.
I'd be in the Hall of Fame right now, one for fee.
Unbelievable.
I get sleeping down there once, so I don't know what's going on. Go! I didn't tell him to go.
Coach, the pitcher has the ball.
Oh,
you better not go.
You know, that was awesome playing down there.
Yes, it was.
I loved that. That was
fun.
The first year we went to state, in football was the greatest. That state that state baseball that first year when we won down Springfield that crazy game.
Game.
You
kid
don't get
kid comes in.
Yeah, we lost
90
it twice.
Mile an hour.
Yeah,
we have no chance of scoring.
It's over.
We score wide open on.
Yeah, he couldn't get one guy out.
He couldn't get anybody out.
In the hell,
we lost
that?
It twice and won it three times.
Is that in the archives?
Oh, yeah, everything.
Don't you remember that Ray Cooney said that he didn't get to hear the last thing, so I heard was us yelling?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is right.
Yep.
Hey, Ray. Take a long walk on a short pier.
Well, we
Elfie.
Chuck has fixed that now. We have a limiter now, so you can't out-scream it.
Can't out-scream it?
No.
Chuck's a loser.
No, he's saved a lot of people's speakers and ears.
Has he really?
Yeah. So you're going to talk about the elves.
First game. Newark Catholic, Marion Local.
I think the prediction is Marion by 21.
21. Peyton Ottey, how good is he?
Peyton Ottey is really good.
Good.
He's a game. You know, he is truly a game changer. I watched him the other night, the St. Henry Marion Local game. I was happened to be on the Marion Local or the St. Henry sideline watching that game, and the play was designed to go right, if I remember correctly, and he started to his right, and it was like St. Henry had it walled up.
Yeah,
and so he rolls back to his left,
took her back the other way,
and goes for like 60 yards, and you know you can't teach that.
Can't teach that.
And he does it with, like, nonchalance. Like, some people you see him thinking about what they're going to do next. He just reacts. He just does
goes.
It. Unbelievably talented. And, you know, so I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but Fort Laramie beat Newark Catholic this year. 41-40.
Really?
Shootout. I don't think I knew that at all.
Shootout.
I didn't realize they played
them. So
that's
my donation.
Regular season. Yeah.
Yes. So that's my donation to the radio show tonight. I gave you that little tidbit.
That's a good tidbit.
They beat them 41-40,
I believe. Stat of the day.
Wow.
Here comes
and
that stat of the day.
Marion Local beat Fort Laramie 42-6.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you can't do that, right?
Right. Yeah. But so you're thinking his 21-point victory for Marion Local might
is
be
conservative.
Really
that's
little
conservative.
I always want to be conservative.
I'm going to go with the baseball and say they're going to throw up. They're going to pitch a shutout.
You thinking shutout?
Yeah. Ooh.
Marion's D's tough.
Yes.
Their D is
very
tough.
It is tough. But
they're going to put a put 35 up.
Right now, Tim Goodwin listening to us, he would hate us.
He'd kill
us. I'm going to say Marion.
The feeling would be mutual.
We absolutely despise him, too.
I'm going to say Marion Local's defense will shut them out in almost all, with 2 minutes into the second half, they will shut them out after that. Because they'll be tired.
They'll be booped.
Marion Local's defense?
Marion Local will shut them out.
Okay.
Because Newark Catholic, probably one of those schools that just blows everybody out. They don't play a full game. Everybody in the MAC
plays. So they're going to run out of gas.
They're going to wear them out.
Every team in the MAC has played 8 full games. Every player on
pitching
the team
has
played
out.
8 full games.
Game, so, 1 o'clock game.
3 o'clock game.
3 o'clock game.
3 o'clock game.
The 1 o'clock game, I'm not sure who's going to win that.
That could be a good one.
That'll be on TV.
Be a great one.
That's going to be you at a bar in Canton seeing you drink.
I'll win the 1 o'clock game.
You're winning that one.
Yeah. 3 o'clock game is the Coldwater
Cavaliers
versus the Cary Commodores.
Yes, sir.
I have no idea if they're the Commodores or not, but sound good.
It doesn't sound right, but that's a good
group.
It's nice
heard
little thing.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
Commodores. Yeah, the Commodores.
I'm going to go, you know, Cary has a big kid that they claim, a big running back that can run the ball, and Coldwater built difference this year. I mean, they have been able to stop people. You know, in the past, that's been a concern for them because, you know, their defense is similar to their offense where they're a little bit spread out and attack from the, you know, they don't attack head on.
Yeah.
But this defense, I think they can play them straight up. And I'm going to say Coldwater by 14.
Okay, 14.
So 21-14. And that brings us to Kirtland.
Navy, the Blue Devils. Cary Blue Devils.
The Blue Devils.
That is right.
Yeah.
I like the Cary Commodores, though.
I do, too.
Yeah, I do, too. Let's call them
Admiral Cary Commodores.
Lionel Richie's their school mascot.
Yes. We love Lionel. Yep.
Dancing on the
you
ceiling.
Want me to sing?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And then
the 7:30 game.
Like Sunday morning.
The 7:30 game is for Sales versus Kirtland.
Tiger.
And, well, it's Tiger Laverty. Is their coach.
Yeah.
Tiger.
Kirtland is not.
Kirtland Tigers.
No.
What do you think they are? I have it here. What do you think they are, Digger?
Digger knows.
What do you know? Do you think you know?
Hornets.
The Hornets. Right.
Yeah.
That is right.
Is there anything, I mean, let's be honest, is there anything I don't know?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, besides my name. here's my view of the last game.
Okay.
So you've got, again, people may not know this. Kirtland had 4 returning starters, offense, defense. Weren't kind of expected to be in the position they're in right now. But they obviously played well. They beat everybody they had to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Versailles, again, is a team that has a lot of senior leadership. They have kids that are, their defense is tough as nails.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They played as athletic a team last week as I could imagine somebody putting on the field. And, you know, gave up a couple touchdowns, but played fairly well. So,
are you taking upset?
What's my theme here?
Sweet.
I went 21.
You're going sweet.
I went 14.
Better drop down.
I'm going 7.
There you go.
21-14-7.
Sweepers for the
Sweep
Mac.
Sweep for the Mac. We're bringing home
3.
Now listen to this.
Okay.
Because this is big.
Stat. Here comes another stat.
We're bringing home state championship in football number 38, 39,
and
40.
Wow.
That's not too bad.
That is pretty good.
And that's pretty good.
Almost everyone, if not everyone, is in the last since the turn of the century, since 2000.
Wow.
That's true.
That ain't good. Sorry about that.
Almost every one of those is in the last 20 years.
No.
No, you have like Minster St. Henry won a bunch of them.
St. Henry won a bunch of them in the early 2000s.
Bobby Horn.
'90s. Were they in the Mac then? Yep. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And then also had Delphus St. John, who won a bunch of them in that. Well, during their run, when Vic Whiting was.
Yeah.
And then Todd took over for him and continued that run a little bit.
But
they are, somebody brought it up. I'm not sure what's going on with Bubba, but.
Trouble.
I don't know if he's sleeping or.
We've got leakage.
somebody tweeted, I can't remember who I saw this from. I think it was one of Fort Recovery's assistant coaches, Stoll?
Greg Stoll.
Tweeted that if Versailles wins Saturday,
mm-hmm.
There would be seven teams that have out of the MAC that have won state football championships in 7 years.
Really?
Yep. Think about that one.
Yep. That's pretty amazing.
How many state towns have we got under your leadership?
I couldn't tell you because really, and honestly,
you have no say.
I have no input,
nothing
no
to
impact.
Do with it. But I like to think that you do.
Yes.
I like to zero. Think.
They're doing it for that Digger.
That the commissioner from Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Yes.
Our friend.
Yes.
Your best man at your wedding.
Yes.
I wasn't.
No.
And I'm hurt. I'm still hurt by it. But
you'll be okay, Bob. You'll be okay.
You're back.
I'm
he'd have you now.
Hey, we're having a 50-year one. We have to get married 50 years. We'll do it again.
We'll switch. Yep. Me and you'll switch.
Yep.
How many years you been married?
33.
How many years you been married?
Four. Where are we? 33, 34?
We were both married 87. In 87.
I think I was 88. I'm 32.
So we have 34 years in, Fee. 34.
Of marital bliss.
Bliss.
Well, I have 4 years of marital bliss.
34 years
of marriage.
Disaster.
as Rodney Dangerfield would say. And we're celebrating 28 years of marital bliss. That's not bad out of 42.
No, that's right.
Pretty good.
Well, Digger, I appreciate you coming over. And you make sure you have a safe trip up to Canton. Yep. And I would love nothing more.
How about
than
coming
3-0.
Back?
Bring back.
Three. Yeah, come back. Yeah, safe trip coming back too.
Okay, all right.
No, don't hit a deer on the way home.
No. Huh? So here's the goal. You know, next year is the MAC's 50th anniversary.
Oh, we got to do something.
It'll be big. So it's a 50th anniversary. We need to get to 150
state
championships.
State, I mean, we got
143.
43.
Oh, you don't get seven. Yeah.
Seven. Six.
Well, you could get three next tomorrow. You know, Saturday, right?
That so brings us to one.
That gets us to 146.
So we need four more. And
two more in volleyball. No, we can't win state in basketball.
Oh, contraire.
We don't have anybody wins. We haven't won state basketball time forever.
Mary Local.
How long ago?
When Nate Brunzi.
Oh, 3 years ago.
3 years.
Yeah, Brunzi's.
Yeah, you're not very good with.
We have baseball. Goldwater always has a chance, and a whole bunch of other teams.
We have track and field coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We could get to 150.
Minster's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Minster's going to win. Anytime.
Fort Recovery.
Anytime you're running.
Yeah, don't count us out.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Mary, we've got to beat Minster. You can't beat Minster.
Yeah.
They're already running.
Yeah.
They're running right now up the hill.
Either one of them's a MAC, so we're okay there. We're going to get 150. We only need seven.
Derek, can I come up with it? Can I give you an idea?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Idea.
You're going to think this is stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of what you say, I think, is stupid.
Stupid.
We need to do a tournament.
A tournament?
Or a pre-football extravaganza.
Extravaganza?
I like the way you use the hand gesture.
Yeah, extravaganza.
We need awesome. Could you imagine if we had a MAC...
Scrimmage.
Holiday basketball tournament.
Oh, holiday. Oh, I like that.
Well, how many teams are in the MAC basketball?
Ten.
Five games.
Five that would be games. A great start.
You dumb.
Five games.
Yep.
I don't care. Have it core. Have it anywhere. Rotate it.
How about down at Forsyth Park?
I'm in. We'll bring.
Yeah, on the blacktop.
Bobby Bechtel Park?
Oh no.
We Bobby Bechtel and Woody Reynolds.
Have it at the new at the new park. They have
no, have it at the Opera House.
They used to play basketball.
Oh, here we go.
But they don't anymore.
Except that ghost is in there.
There.
Yeah, there's a ghost up there.
Five games.
So think about this, Bubba. We're playing each other already.
One time.
Right.
We used to always play two times.
Yeah.
Bring them on.
The Mercer County League.
If you would do that. Do you have any idea how much money you'd make?
Me, personally?
I'm saying we do
it. You're selling popcorn and...
We do it as a charity.
Yeah. Give the money to something. We're big.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking outside the box.
Outside the box.
Why can't we do something nuts? We have the greatest league in the world.
We do have a great league.
Back in the Mercer County League, every team played the other team home and away.
Five games.
Because there were only...
One day.
What? Eight. Seven, maybe.
Seven teams, I think.
Christmas break. Pack it up.
Back to place.
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, right now, Coldwater, Marion Local, and... St. Henry?
Stupid. Parkway. Holiday Parkway. Yeah. They got the...
Parkway in that, too?
They're in their own. They got their own. Lehman Insurance or something. Okay, it's a stupid idea.
Well, it's not a stupid idea. Just be... The logistics are a little tough.
We're all in the same area, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and
open up games.
And four or five of those teams are already in tournaments that have been established. Not saying it's impossible. Just saying
I'm out there.
Logistics
are
tough. No, it's a great idea.
It's stupid. I'm so dumb.
We should have thought of it last year so we could have 2 years to play.
Hey, now you're coming around. Now you're where I'm at.
I'm dumb.
Because I thought you were dumb for a long time.
And there he goes again.
What else you got, Fee?
I got nothing.
You're going to Tennessee.
Gatlinburg, Gip.
Old time rocket top down in the Tennessee.
Okay, quick question.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mike's grandson.
Yes.
Let's get an update on what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Hayden Davis.
Signed to go to Samford. He's going to play baseball in Samford.
Now, is that in North Carolina?
That is in Alabama.
Alabama.
Oh, Samford.
Samford.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Samford.
Samford and Sons.
Sanford is in California.
Stanford.
Stanford.
Sanford is a town in North Carolina, but I don't know if it has a college.
Yep. He's playing baseball. His senior year is this year, so he'll be there next year.
Division One.
Looking forward to seeing it.
Where is that?
In Alabama.
Alabama. Yep. Alabama.
Checking Alabama.
Bubba?
Huh?
How's the mail going?
It's good. I was just sitting here for 4 years.
Yeah.
Crusher Ramble's got a four-person gift card here.
Bill Hansen's got one, too.
Hammy got one, too?
Yeah.
We'll use Hammy's.
Yeah. I talked to him this summer. He said, hey, give that to Fee. We'll come over sometime.
There you go.
Yep. Time's running out. He got to play in December.
Let's go.
Folks, 2 weeks from tonight is our Christmas show. Start looking at Facebook, start checking out Jack's stuff, and we'll repost it. And it is once again going to be a wonderful show with great entertainment. We're going to pull your heartstrings and we're going to raise a lot of money,
stuff.
just like we always
do.
And
stuff.
Spencey's going to sing, play the kazoo. And
I gave away my kazoo.
You did?
Yeah, but I have another one on the
one.
Way. I have some at home.
Got some
Digger,
at home.
Thank you for stopping over, buddy.
Hey, anytime. It's always a pleasure.
3-0, baby. 3-0 this weekend.
3-0 for the Mac.
I'm going to sneeze.
Let's do that.
Goodbye. Kaboo.
Hang up.
God bless you.
All right, I'm back.
God bless you.
Well,
thank
at least
you.
Now appreciate I have something it. To hold my hair down.
Whew, that was a good one.
Snotball flew across there.
Snotball.
Tomorrow night, Fort Recovery Girls up here. A game on
here.
FRR Radio.
A little bit simulcast and Rob Weaver. But
perfect.
Yes.
And then Saturday, it is Jay County Day,
all
folks.
Day Jay County.
Again, simulcasting, but yeah.
Sounds I would love good. To be here for the Jay County game.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
It's always fun.
We'll find you a seat.
Well, if I wasn't in Canton, I'd be right in the front row.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's right.
I got an idea. Pink Floyd Kramer, Airplane.
Drive you in, drive you back.
Is that Rob?
Who?
Who's Pink Floyd Kramer?
Yeah, I don't
Jerry
know.
Kramer.
How did that get to be Pink Floyd?
That's what we call him.
We?
Me
I've
me.
Never
so
heard
how
that.
Is Jerry Kramer?
He still has it out.
Oh,
he
parks
I didn't
in
question whether he had it.
5 o'clock Charlie.
I'm going to say he's 76 years old. That's my
we
guess.
We pick you up at Benson Stadium at what time's the 3 o'clock game get over? 4:30.
I got to be there till
listen.
For sales is done.
For sales stick. What time?
They start. That'll be 10 o'clock.
Probably. What time's it start?
7:30.
You come and then we fly you back. For the second half.
There you go.
We will parachute you in.
How could that possibly go wrong?
Parachute you in.
I think that is a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
That would be easy. Maybe, what would it cost to rent a helicopter?
Maybe because I have a brain.
For that amount of time, it probably couldn't cost more than $10,000-$20,000.
Piece of cake. Well, think about it and let us know.
Just in case.
That's 2 weeks' work for Digger. We can't be taking his money.
If you do that, if we can pull that off, mm-hmm. I might need some help with the Christmas stuff.
Okay.
Right? Like I could be one of your donors.
Have you ever flew in a little puddle jumper?
Yes.
And?
Yeah.
You know Dave Stone, right?
Yeah.
So Dave Stone had his pilot's license, took me up in a plane.
No, he did not.
Yes.
Not be a good thing.
Yes.
And you got in the plane with him.
I'm stupid.
So did he tie you down?
Good point. Good point. So before we take off, he opens the hood on this freaking plane. And I said,
has no idea what he's looking at.
I said, he's, you know, going through a checklist.
Yeah.
And he's looking at stuff. And there was, I go, Dave, where's the engine? He goes, it's right there. And I go, it's fucking weed whack. Sorry. That's a weed whacker engine. I mean, it was so small.
How is that gonna get us?
It was so small. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, and he started laughing. He goes, believe me, it's more than enough power. So we go up in the air. He takes off. We go up in the air a little bit. And he wants, it's a kind of a cloudy, like there's a little bit of cloud cover. He can't fly through clouds. He, whatever they call that, he's not instrument rated at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to fly with visibility. So he decides that he can spiral up through a hole.
Nice.
In the clouds. And after about the 18th spiral, I'm like, Dave, we can do this someday when it's really like not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of talking, but I finally convinced him it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So we came down. We, you know, it's kind of neat because you see things from a different perspective. And we flew over the lake. And that lake, you know, like, you know, it's massive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you get up in the air and you can see the entire thing, it's like, it's son big. Of a gun.
That's a big boy.
You could have said the other word because we still have to edit anyway.
We got, when I had helicopter rides at Jubilee when I chaired it that one year.
Yeah.
So I got a free ride. Mm-hmm. So I was the first one to go up. I'm scared crapless, you know.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So we load up right at the very top of Ambassador Park camping area.
I'm saying you can't get him crapless.
Yeah. That was where it was. So he takes off, and, you know, you're sitting there, and you're thinking, well, you go straight up when you take off in a helicopter.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he takes off, and I said, well, this is really neat. I'm going to throw up. But it was nice. I don't know if I'd do it again.
I like that kind of stuff. I got to go on the hot air balloon ride. At the Jubilee, yeah.
How was that?
It was awesome.
How long ago was that?
That was in the 1930s. No, it was, I'm going to say in the late 80s, 90s, it was really warm that day. So it was supposed to be me, Max Cheeseman, and Chuck Hine. Well, didn't quite have enough cool air in the sky to get Chuck Hine off the ground, so he had to stay.
Big Shepherd couldn't go.
He couldn't go.
So we were cruising around.
Right.
We went up from the Ambassador Park and went around the state line and went over Max's grandpa's house out on the state line. And grandpa got out of his truck. He'd been uptown eating breakfast. It was like 9:10 in the morning. And grandpa had been uptown eating breakfast. And we're going over, and they don't have the air rushing, so it's just quiet as can be. And Max looks down. We're probably 300-500 feet in the air. Says, hey, hi, Grandpa. In that tone of voice, he wasn't yelling.
Yeah.
Grandpa looks up and says, hey, hi, Max. Goes in the house. just like nonchalant.
Yeah.
You could hear everything.
Yeah.
We saw a deer down there, and shortly after that, he was in the woods, but you could see him. The guy hit the hit the the juicer. Propane or yeah. whatever it was, and it made this giant whoosh, and that deer shot. We did, we yeah. saw
sure,
the deer.
He's probably thinking, where the hell's that coming from?
Yeah, but you know, it's so quiet up there, and you know, just a conversation in regular tone of voice from 500 feet away. It was just, it was incredible. And of course, Grandpa, he's just, yeah, hey, hi, Max.
Where'd you land?
We landed in Sudoff's field, actually yard, basically the corner of 49 and 219. Brick house, probably built in the 1920s or something, right? It's slightly east of the intersection there. We landed there and came and picked us up.
So stupid question. Can they steer those things at all?
No.
Oh, no. Really?
You just you just kind of go with the wind.
You go
right?
with the wind. Now,
you can go up and down.
You can go up if you know... And I'm sure the technology is a lot better now. Yeah, you can, if you know there's, if you go up 100 feet, there's air going a different direction. But at that time, you can't know that. But you could go up and then you go a different direction. Because we went up, we went west to the state line. And then so three miles north, Segrest Judy Road, whatever that is up there, where his grandpa lived. From Ambassador Park, so we went a mile west and 3 miles north, and we ended up about a mile and a half east of there. And
play the wind.
6 miles, yeah. 3 miles north of there. So.
One of my favorite helicopter stories, the guy was on Bob and Tom, and he was going on a helicopter ride. So I think it took like seven or eight people. And the pilot comes around and asks everybody what they weigh. So he said there's a couple fat ladies up there, and then him and his wife. And the pilot said, what do you guys weigh? And the guy says, what do you need to know how much we weigh? He said, we got to know how much fuel to put in it. Guy says, well, fill it up. I'll pay for it. I don't want to land in the Hoover Dam because it's fat shit. Don't lie about her.
She lied about her weight.
We'll fill her up, he said.
Fill her up.
Well, that's more weight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, well, Digger, thanks a lot for coming in. Fee, you're awesome. Safe trip to Tennessee. Yep. Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
See you next week.
You are listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee was brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.